My favorite collective soul is Mike Kliss, and he joins us on the RamosLot.com hotline. Is it? I don't know. Hey, Michael, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. It was kind of a weird, quiet week, but there were some subtle things going on with the draft. Maybe you can tell us about this everything sort of quarterback, halfback, tight end, this dude that they had a Zoom thing. That sounded kind of interesting. Oh, what's his?
Jack Hammer?
What's that?
The Jack Hammer. Jack Coletto, are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. They brought him in for a visit last week before everybody took off for the owners' meetings in Phoenix. And he went to school. First he went to community college in Arizona, in Yuma.
Okay.
And played some quarterback. He went to Oregon State as a quarterback and started one game against Colorado in like 2018 as a transfer sophomore and got benched in the game.
Oh.
Oregon State wound up winning 41-34, something like that, in overtime. So he wound up, after that game, he pretty much became a linebacker and fullback. And special teams guy, caught a couple passes. And so, he's one of those guys that maybe in the future, it's interesting. He's a versatile guy. He's a hybrid, both offense, defense, 240 pounds, plays hard, plays wow. tough. And, with a little passing in his background.
Hmm.
And it does sound like Sean Payton's type of guy when you consider his history with Taysom Hill.
Mm. How important is a type of guy like that, Derek?
Depends on the coach. A coach like Sean Payton, it's really important because he knows how to use him. But if you give him to a coach who doesn't know how to use him, then it's like kind of a waste.
I like him.
Yeah, it's one of those, the Broncos had a guy, I don't know if he's closer to Spencer Larson than he is Taysom
Spencer.
Hill.
Yeah.
if you remember Spencer Larson, he started at inside linebacker and fullback one game and made a little history. And or if he's closer to Taysom Hill, he's not a Cordell Stewart. He's not that type of player. But he scored, I tell you what, this guy, he scored a bunch of touchdowns in the last 2 years.
Finds a way.
I think as a plunge guy, a short yardage plunge guy at fullback, they used him. So that's why he was called the Jackhammer. If you Google it, I think Pat McAfee did an Oregon State bowl game and went crazy with the guy.
Must have loved him. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll look it up, the Jackhammer. I feel like they've crossed. I mean, are you diving into the draft stuff yet, Mike, or are you not paying that much attention to it?
Well, no, I mean, they're picking 67th.
Right.
It's a needle in the haystack trying to figure out who they're going to get. I do try to track down when I can who comes in for a top 30 visit. Because last year I know Nick Benito came in for a top 30 visit. He might have been the last guy in.
Really?
And I'm not sure if I can't remember if Dulcich came in or not. I think he did. Those are the type of, and it's kind of the same draft as last year. Nick Benito went number 64, even though it was, they call him a second round pick. He was the last guy in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're picking real early in the third round. So there's not that much difference. So, I think though, the guy they draft at 67 and 68 and early in the fourth, those are the three big picks for him. They'll probably bring him in as a top 30 visit.
What else do they need? Are you buying the, we're not trading Sutton and Judy? Are you buying that?
Yeah, I am. Because Sean Payton said that. I mean, I'm kind of, George Payton tends to keep doors open on everything. But, when Sean Payton said it as emphatically as he did, the Baltimore thing, by the way, that came out yesterday or the day before, I had heard that at the owners' meetings, but I had heard that was already done, that Baltimore looked into Sutton, was interested in Sutton,
mm-hmm.
But the Broncos were asking for a second-round draft pick, and they moved on. You know, with a $14.5 million salary, plus a second-round draft pick, plus not quite the production that he, you know, that he had in 2019. So all those, that was a little expensive. So I think the Broncos in both cases with Judy and Sutton, they would have traded him if they would have got their asking price. Their asking price was relatively high. Mm-hmm. But now all the teams they were talking to filled their receiver spots. Baltimore went with Nelson Aguilar, and you know I don't know if they're still looking or not. But from what I understand, most of the teams that were looking, New England, Cleveland, they all filled their receiver spots.
Derek, you got anything else for Mike? You want this last chance to check in with Mike for the week?
What's going on, Derek?
Mike, I just didn't want to fire you up like I did Jay Will.
Yeah, Derek got into it with Jay Williams.
Javonte Williams?
No, Jay Williams, the basketball analyst. Derek was just screaming at him.
What happened?
Well,
he didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, he was just
wrong place, wrong time.
He was just screaming at about Jamal Murray, and
I wasn't. Innocent bystander, and I wasn't screaming.
Well, that's true. I was just giving you the opportunity to scream at Kliss.
Why would I scream at Mike?
I don't know.
I've never screamed at Mike.
Yeah, maybe once. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe after a game, you know, you probably don't remember what you said or what you were feeling after a game. I tell you what, D-Mac, you could probably attest to this. Derek Wolfe after a game.
Oh, he was fine.
Was a go-to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as far as report, because he would tell it like it is.
Yep.
And he usually had the raw emotions. No filter after a game, man.
Yeah, but I don't remember Derek, like, yelling at anybody. I don't remember upset.
No, you guys are doing your job, man. I'm not going to yell at you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always sympathetic to Mike. When guys lose, I don't know, man.
They don't want to talk to me.
I don't blame them, you know? I think
it comes with the job description.
I think things are fair territory during the week. I think, you know, mm-hmm. they're grown men. They're professionals, you know, I think during the week. But listen, man. I don't care how much money you make or whatever. You lose something. You lose. Losing is hard. Losing is so hard. So I intentionally walk on eggshells around guys after losses. I don't need to beat you up after a loss.
You know what I have found is interesting and fascinating, and leading up into the week, right, all the comments from the players and the coaches are about how great the opposition is.
Right.
This player is the best.
Right.
This team is the best.
Every week.
10 minutes after a game, if you lose, this guy stinks. He's dirty, or he crosses the line. it's kind of funny how that works sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Mike, what should we keep? You had a little chat with Greg and Kerry, huh? Little friendly chit-chat? Getting to know these people a little better?
Yeah. I did. You know, Kerry's jumped right in on the on some league committees, and you know, she's sharp. She's on top of things, and she was involved also along with Greg in that big meeting Sunday before free agency, where you know Hurtado and George Payton and Sean Payton outlined their free agency.
Mm.
And they obviously where the Penners came in was approving the day one expenditures. Day one, you're going to spend more than the free agents signed on day two. You know, for instance, McGlinchey went for $17.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, McGarry, the next highest paid right tackle, went for $11.5 million.
Right.
Ben Powers, $13 million. A couple days later, the next highest left guard was $8 million. So the owners had to say, well, what's it going to be? You know, are we going to wait for the day two guy, or are we going to go get the guy we got rated number one?
Right.
And the Penners said, go get the guy that's rated number one.
Okay.
And so that's where good owners came into play. What owners can't do for the team, though, is they really don't pick the guy. It's up to George and Sean to pick the right tackle in McGlinchey instead of McGarry, to pick Ben Powers instead of Siamalo. So, you know, that's up to the coach and the general manager. But as far as what the owners do, you know, they gave their resources.
All right, real quick. they were asked, or Penner was asked, you know, what have you learned? And, you know, if you could pick out one thing that he would do differently than he's already done, what do you think that would be?
Wait on the Russell Wilson contract.
Gotcha. he did sign up. Well, I don't know if it, okay. So you think he had worked?
I mean, the trade was already made. Trade was already made.
That's right. He had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and so the commitment, but you know, it's the commitment was already there, and whether there was you know verbal agreements, you know, about the contract, but I really don't think there was. I think the trade was made without promises on the contract.
Mm.
But because they invested so much, I mean, they gave away so much of the team's collateral for so many of the team's assets, I should say, for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
That the deep investment financially kind of followed. But, you know, obviously in hindsight, no one questioned it that much when the contract was agreed to.
But you think he'd be more careful about it next time around if presented that?
I think Greg Penner hesitated about giving that contract
in the first place. Yeah,
I'm not sure he thought it was a good idea at the time.
All right, we'll get into that in football in 4 seconds. Yes, no question. Yes, no question. Are the owners colluding against Lamar Jackson right now? Yes, no.
I say no. It's two first round draft picks plus Baltimore can match.
Okay.